are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Already in this edition, we've heard from two Republican members of the House of Representatives, one in favor of the revised bailout plan and another one strongly opposed to it. With me now to talk about the actual cost to taxpayers, if in fact this plan goes through, is Pete Sapp, Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union, just outside Washington. And Pete, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with the base package here. Obviously a massive amount of money, $700 billion that taxpayers are either bailing out or buying in, depending on who's explaining what this bill is all about. Just how deep is the burden on the taxpayers if this goes through?
Well, there are some who say, of course, that by selling off assets at lower than market value, that the federal government might actually make money for taxpayers, and it might not cost $700 billion at all. It might cost $0 billion and might actually give us some money for tax relief. I don't actually believe that. I think the federal government's track record in this area, from the SNL crisis to the Fannie and Freddie debacle that we're now seeing, that legislation passed earlier in the summer, I think that out of the $700 billion that we would be asked to take on, as much as $100 billion could easily become solid liabilities that would be added straight to the national debt.
And so in addition to the national debt, what's the impact on the families of the United States and small business owners, as well as others who would be obviously putting up the money here?
Well, here again, some are saying, well, in the long term or even the intermediate term, this will help free up a lot of liquidity in the market and make credit easier to get, and so families would come out ahead. I, again, don't believe that that's necessarily the case. Secretary Paulson has pretty much said he's making an educated guess that this plan will work. I'm not sure it's all that much educated when you look at what the International Monetary Fund has said when they studied 42 separate bailout incidents in 36 countries over the past 10 years, we are choosing the path that has had the least success. I repeat, the least success. We are going down the road largely of the way Japan tried to get out of its economic doldrums during the banking crises of the 1990s. They really didn't get out of that trough, and in fact, their economy is still a lot weaker for it, despite all the measures they took that resemble a lot of Paulson's provisions.
A couple minutes left with Pete Sapp of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, it was a slightly cleaner bill when the House rejected it on Monday. It's been sweetened up, to use the term of the week, on the Senate side. The bill's now more than 450 pages long, and there's add-ons. Some say these are just extensions of previous tax breaks, and that's actually a good thing for taxpayers across the board. Others say, no, these are earmarks and people trying to get as much as they can out of this massive legislation. How do you see it?
There's a mixture. I think that the renewal of protections from the alternative minimum tax, that will spare something on the order of 30 million families from having to contend with that horrible thing. That's in the package. That's a good thing. I'm not sure that a lot of the other tax policies, such as redefining what's subject to the bow and arrow excise tax, should necessarily be priorities or put in emergency legislation. The worst rumor we've heard is that a $61 billion spending package called Stimulus 2 might be attached to the House bill. That would be most unfortunate. It would make a bad bill even worse.
Pete, obviously the big argument coming from the president as well as supporters of this plan is something's got to be done. Look what happened on Wall Street on Monday when the House rejected this plan. The credit line that banks are willing to extend right now is drying up and needs to be stabilized to some extent. And so they say the cost of doing nothing is much greater than the cost of even $700 billion plus some of these add-ons. So what's your recommendation to lawmakers as they consider what to do tomorrow?
I think they're making an absolutely false choice, thinking this is an all-or-nothing deal. There are pieces of legislation from Scott Garrett and Jeb Hensarling and other members of the House and of the Senate that would take much more sensible approaches to stabilizing markets without such a huge infusion of taxpayer cash. The bills have already been written. All Congress has to do is take a look at them and consider them. They could spend at least as much time doing that as they will debating this awful package. They have a choice. If they don't take it tomorrow, it's their problem.
And so we'll keep track, obviously, of what happens in the House vote after a overwhelming Senate vote Wednesday evening in favor of the revised package. Pete, as always, thanks for your time and your insight. Great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
Peter Sepp is Vice President of Communications at the National Taxpayers Union, located just outside Washington. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of the Radio America Network. A reminder to join us online at dateline.radioamerica.org, where you can listen to the best of Dateline Washington 24 hours a day and register your opinions on the biggest stories of the day. Thanks to executive producer Jim Roberts, I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me next time for Dateline Washington.